Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. You know, I met Bobby and Carolyn. Me and Brenda met Bobby and Carolyn up in Morningstar. They were at a conference up there several years ago, and we just went over and just wanted to just meet them and just say how much we appreciated their ministry. And they welcomed us to their table, that's sitting at a table, and said, sit down. And I said, no, we just wanted to meet you and just say hello and how much. You know, no, sit down. And so we sat down with them, and we've been family ever since. Really, it's been, I'm telling you the truth. Our relationship is just, it was just a quick bonding. He's been coming to the church. Both of them have been coming to the church for several years. And just to let you know, he's genuine. He's authentic. That's what I love about him. He's just very authentic. Don't put on airs or anything. He's a real man of God, and Carolyn's a real woman of God, and they're near and dear to our heart, to me and Brenda and Father's Vineyard as well, as y'all have come to know him as family as well. And they always feel like family when they come home, and they've expressed that they feel like they're home when they get here. You know, which means a lot. It really does. It means a lot. I think they've been married 53 years almost. And but I tell you what, just a amen. Just a wonderful couple. And I love you, Bobby and Carolyn. I really do. You mean so much to us. You really do. Carolyn, it's so good to have you back with us. It really is. It's just an honor. The best part of Bobby shows up, and she's sitting right beside him. It is so good to be. Are you ready? I want you to get your Bibles, get ready, get your pens and your paper and all that, and get ready to write down, because I know that this man of God has a word from the Lord. How many of you came expecting to hear God speak? Yeah. We're glad Bobby's here. Right, and Carol, we're glad he's here. But we want to hear what God has to say. Amen. And that's what he's going to do. So let's give him a great big welcome.
Amen. Good. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Terry. God bless your heart. Thank you, man. All righty. God bless you. Well, isn't it wonderful to be saved? Yes. Not going to hell. Deserve hell, but not going there. Jesus Christ opened the gate to glory. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Anybody and everybody can come. God wants everybody saved. You know that, don't you? It says God wants everybody saved. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Christ. Now, you say, well, Bobby, if God's all powerful and he's all sovereign, why don't he make everybody get saved? He could, but he won't do that. You know why? He wants volunteer lovers. He wants those that choose him. The whole thing has been about choice. There was two trees in the garden, two mountains. And he said, I've set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life. Yes. I hope there's not a single soul in this room that has chosen to say no to Jesus. If you have, this is your night to change your opinion. This is your night. He'll hear you if you'll cry out to him. That's right. He said he's near to us when we cry out to him, and he's able to save us to the uttermost, all that come to God through Christ. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Terry, we're glad to be with you, and Brenda, we're looking forward to a good, good time. Don't go to church and not have a good time. I'll tell you what is so sad. This coming month, September, I'll be preaching 48 years. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 47 years right now. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 47 years, all over the earth, in and out of every kind of situation you could imagine. And it's pretty sad. I'm running into some people that have just enough Jesus to be miserable. They got just enough Jesus to be miserable. What does that mean? It means that they got him in the head but not in the heart. They're trying to keep a bunch of rules and regulations and stipulations, and they're not enjoying Jesus. God wants us to enjoy Jesus. He's the liberator. He sets us free. Whom to know is life eternal. And see, anyway, we're glad you're here. The thing that thrills me about God, I was sitting there a moment ago, the thing that thrills me about God is this. In eternity past, Somewhere way, way back there in eternity past, God picked up his pen and wrote in his book that you would be sitting in that seat tonight. Wow. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's in the Bible. You know that, don't you? Here's what it says, Psalms 139. It says, all of our days, verse 16, 17, and 18, all of our days are written in his book before we've ever lived a single one of them. Psalms 139, verse 18 says, God's thoughts towards us are weighty and precious. And it says they're more numerous than the sands on the seashore. What does that mean? The word there where it says God's thoughts towards us, Psalms 139, verse 18, are weighty, is the same word for glorious. Heavy, weighty. God's thoughts towards us are glorious, and they're continual. They're as numerous as the sands on the seashore. So the devil is always trying to convince you that God's only thinking about famous people. He didn't think about ordinary people. You're not significant enough to have any care of God. Listen, that's a lie. Anytime the devil ever speaks to you, turn it all the way around and you'll find the truth. So if the devil says you're worthless, you're precious to God. If the devil says your life is not amounting to anything, you are doing great, great things for the kingdom of God. Every time the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. And so if you turn it all the way around, the opposite of a lie is the truth. So God says some wonderful things about you, and you need to start believing it. He calls you precious. Precious. He calls you a treasure in the book of Malachi. When I come to take up my treasures. So I looked up the Hebrew word treasure. It means specially acquired treasure. If something like if your house was on fire, that'd be the very thing you got out. Specially acquired treasure. That's who you are with God. And think about this. Think about the fact that God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. God speaking, he said, I know my thoughts, I think towards you, declares the Lord. I know my plans, my desires for you. Desires for success, not for failure. My intention is to bring you to a good end, not a dismal demise. We need to understand the devil has lied to us about God's intent. There's a lot of young people out in clubs tonight sniffing, snorting, getting drunk, doing all this kind of stuff. They don't want to come to church. They're afraid they won't have a good time. See, the devil's told a big lie about God. The happiest people in the world are those that are totally serving Jesus. He's the one that brings about real joy. Now, the devil has lied to us about God. Remember, he said to Adam and Eve, hath he said? God is always trying to cast a shadow over what God has said and cast a shadow over the good intentions of God. God's plans towards us are so much better than we could make for ourselves. One time Jesus walked up to me and he said, Bobby, I give you my personal permission to attempt to exaggerate what I'm about to do. That's what he said to me. So I said to him, being a preacher, I need a verse for that. And he said to me, no problem, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. Here's your great verse I love about power. And it's Philippians 2, 13. Philippians 2, 13 says, why does God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, the thing that wrecked me out of that passage was his good pleasure. The creature, Bobby, can do something, bring the Creator good pleasure. Whatever that is, that's our number one goal, to bring Father God good pleasure. Luke 12, 32, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 32, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. I want to bring him good pleasure, don't you? So nothing gives him greater pleasure than to find a people he can give the kingdom to. The Bible said he's searching for that. Isn't it 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9? It is. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord are doing something. Roving to and fro throughout the whole earth. That means right down here, right here at Father's Vineyard, he's watching us. He's scouring us. He's searching us. He's looking for someone whose heart is upright towards him. It says when he finds him, he'll fully support all they put their hands to do. Psalms 90, talking about putting his hand with our hand. Psalms 90, verse 16 and verse 17 says, O Lord, let your works appear and establish thou the works of our hands. Yes, O God, the works of our hands establish thou it. Don't you want God to bless what you do? That's what he's established. Build it up. Cause it to be seen. Cause it to have structure to it. I want him to bless the works of my hands. We ought to be crying out. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Wow. Rend the heavens and come down. You know what? That verse says he's going to do it, but he's going to bring something with him. Fire. Said he's going to come down and he's going to bring fire. It said the fire will do several things. It says it'll burn up the underbrush, the thorns, the thistles, the things that impede our progress and our walk with God. How many of you want that? I want my pathway clean and clear, don't you? I want the fire of God to burn up the thistles and the underbrush. This is all Isaiah 64, verse 1 and 2. And here's what it says. It'll burn up the underbrush, and then it says the fire will do something else. It will cause the water to boil. Water in the Scripture is the type of the Word. Fire is a type of the Holy Spirit. Every church I know anything about needs more of the Word and more of the Spirit. We need a marriage between the Word and the Spirit. The Bible said the dead letter does something. Oh, it kills. We need the Word of God, certainly, but we need the breath of God. We need the Spirit of God to interpret to us and give us a power to live what the Bible teaches. Anyway, I hope you'll visit the book table. After a while, when we get through, we've got a book table back there. The Lord said to me, "Don't you write books?" I said, okay. He told me the other day, he said, "I want you to write a unique book." So I stopped him. I said, "Now, wait a minute. What is your definition of unique?" And he said, "This is a fast-paced culture you're living in." He said, "People very seldom will pick up a 250-something page book and read it." He said, "They're very busy." He said, "I want you to write a big book, a thick book, 250-something page book, but I want you to have each chapter like it's a full book, but lead to the next chapter." And so that's his definition of unique. So here's one called Living in God's Light, Discovering the Pathway to Divine Purpose. The first chapter is this. It is time for a fresh start. You believe that? It is time for a fresh start. It's time to be reinvigorated. And I tell you what time it is, honest to God. It's time to recalibrate. It's time to go back to the original point of accuracy. The church has drifted away from the truth of the Word of God. I told you a few years ago, the largest battle the church would ever fight is Proverbs 23:23. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Pay the price for truth and don't sell it for anything." Truth is the big thing that the battle's over right now, because you can't sanctify the saints of God without truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them." The word sanctify means clean up, set apart for the service of God. So the devil's doing everything he can to undermine the truth. And so it's time for a fresh start. We got to get back to the original point of accuracy. We got to get back to first love. He said, we've got to get back to our first love. I don't want it to be spoken about us that we've abandoned our first love. Don't you want to get back to first love? Wow. Wow. So anyway, first chapter is, it's time for a fresh start. Second chapter is, there's a door standing open that said, "Come up here." Don't you want to get closer to God than you are right now? There's verses in the Bible concerning how we can get close to God that's almost unbelievable. Zechariah 3:7 says, "If you honor God, serve God, live for God, He will give you open access to His presence." What? Open access to His presence. So I looked it up. It means unfettered. Open access to His presence. I want that, don't you? We can approach Him anytime, any place. We can come boldly. Say boldly. Boldly. Boldly to the throne of God and find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Aren't you glad? The most powerful being in the whole universe says, "Come on. Come on into my presence anytime." Wow. He's called Almighty God. Oh, we're going to get a new appreciation for Almighty God. Wow. Almighty God. That's who we're here gathered to worship, Almighty God. We found out Jesus is a lamb, but you and I are going to be living when we understand He's a lion also. He is the lamb, but He's the lion. And Amos 3:8 says, "A lion has roared in the streets. Who can but prophesy?" A lion. Get ready to hear the lion of the tribe of Judah roar. We're going to find out He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not some meek and mild, beat up, bruised up Savior. He's King. And we're going to discover that in a new dimension in our lifetime. Well, we're excited. I hope you'll visit the book table. For 22 years when I wrote this one, for 22 years, on the Day of Atonement, I have a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'll tell me what to write in a book called The Shepherd's Rod, and I write in the book. This is one for 2017. This one, most time I love it because most of the time we get to go up to North Carolina to Moravian Falls where we have a home, and that's a great place to get revelation. That's where we usually go to receive the shepherd's rod. This time he told me, and my wife said, go to South Africa and I'll speak to you. I thought, oh, Lord, speak to me in Moravian Falls. But we go to South Africa. It's the wildest thing. We go to Stellenbosch. We're there for a few days, and the Day of Atonement's coming, and we fly on a plane several hours, and we get in some kind of off-the-road vehicle and drive hours into the bush. It is hot. Oh, Lord, my shirt's sticking to me. It's the Day of Atonement. The sun's just about to set. And all of a sudden, I'm whining, honestly, because I'm so hot. I'm thinking, I could have been in my house. I could have been sitting on my porch. It's cool there. But here we go. There we are, my shirt sticking to me. I'm in the bush in South Africa. And all of a sudden, I'm whining, be honest. God, I don't know why I'm here. All of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed. A coolness came. Now, the trees are not blowing like that, but I'm as cool as I can be. Seven angels came out of heaven, got in a circle around me, and started spinning around like this. They spun so fast, it sucked me up into a portal, and they carried me to the gates of glory. A wildest thing. I ride in here. It's crazy now. It's crazy. I'm carried to a gate that leads into the courts of heaven. It's way more massive than this building, way taller than this building. And there's seven angels carried me there. They started spinning around me in such a rapid thing. It caused a funnel, jerked me up, carried me to this gate. Now, there's some massive angels way, maybe 30 feet taller than the gate. And the ones that brought me there seemed pretty friendly. These guys don't seem friendly. They're standing like this, like soldiers on post, and they're watching. They're watching. They're intensely watching. And I'm telling you, I'm there, and I've got a lot of mixed emotions. These big angels guarding that gate. The gate looked like it was pearl and silver inlaid like this. Massive, and these angels guarding like this. They cut their eyes down looking at me, and they said in sequence and in perfect unison, these angels, these guarding angels said to the guiding angels, "Who have you brought to this gate?" They're talking about me. I wanted to hide. I wanted to become dust and just swivel away. But I also wanted to hear what they said. And here's what stunned me. The guiding angels said to the guarding angels, "We brought the friend of the king." And I tell you what, I was ushered into the courts of heaven. And I'll tell you, we need to read this book. You need to understand God is in charge. You need to understand the power He has delegated to you to change the course of this earth with your words. I saw angels, Pastor, I saw angels as far as the eye could see, and they're like soldiers ready to be commissioned. I said, "Lord, activate them." He said, "That's not my job, it's your job." We got to so become in tune with the Father till we step away from being mere servants to sons. And we begin to understand that we're heir of the kingdom. And I'm telling you, listen, I saw up there, I saw a little, the Lord said, "Watch this," and he pulled back like that. And I saw back on earth, I saw a little frail saint, a little bitty woman, very frail, kneeling down beside a chair praying. And God said, "That woman praying there has more power than all the armies of the earth combined." Prayer is powerful. We should never underestimate prayer. I hope you'll get the book on the courts of heaven. One of the things that resounds from there, God is absolutely dead determined that He's going to put justice back on the earth. Yes. Say justice. Yes. Every wrong is going to be made right. Yes. I'm telling you, He is going to see that everything that has been robbed and stolen is going to be restored. He's demanding divine justice. So I hope you'll get the books. I'm not going to talk about these anymore right now. Here we go, Caroline. How you doing? Glad you're here? Are you glad to be here? Oh, man. We quote a while ago that we've been married 53 years, and most times she'll quote Genesis 18:14. That verse says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's what. Oh, man. Oh, listen. But we have a good time. I like the theme of this conference. The theme of this gathering is the presence of God. Do you remember the first, our ancestors, Adam and Eve? It says this in Genesis 3:8, they hid themselves from the presence of God. That's one of the number one barometers you can tell sin is coming into your life is because you want to hide from the presence of God. Genesis 3:8. They hid themselves from the presence of God. Boy, I don't want that to be active in any of our lives. I want us to be seeking Him face to face. And in Psalms 27, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart cried out to you, yes, God, your face I'll seek. We need to set our face to seek His face. It says, they looked unto Him and their faces were enlightened. We've got to learn how to get back into the presence of God. There's protocols. There's things that can hinder us or help us to get into the presence of God. The thing that will hinder us more than anything is known sin in our life. Psalms 24:3-4, it says, who shall ascend into the presence of the Lord? Who's going to get in His holy hill? Who's going to get in His presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Think about it. Hands talk about action. Heart talks about attitude. Some people can restrain their actions, but they can't control their attitudes. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, fault finding, etc., etc. Those keep us out of the presence of God. We've got to understand, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not listen to me. Wow. He won't hear me. Wow. I don't want anything in my heart that cuts off my communication channel with God. I want an open channel, don't you? I want Him to do Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way that's eternal and everlasting. You may be in the room and say, well, now, Bobby, wait, hold it. I know my heart. Mm-mm. Not according to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9 says, our hearts are so dark, so desperate, so twisted, we can't know them. You go, well, who can? Next verse, Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, examine the heart. Give Him permission to examine your heart. We'll just kind of visit a little while, okay? You want to? Yeah. What you need worse than anything is another sermon. You know what? We don't need sermons and never again. We need messages. A man can come up with a sermon. Only God can deliver a message. Paul said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We need not to be stimulated in the mind, but spoken to in the Spirit. Don't you want your spirit stirred by God? Now, I'll tell you, I don't care how brilliant you are. You're not smart enough to get anything from God intellectually. That's what it says. It says we can't comprehend it with the natural. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to it. Neither can you know it. It must be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, 7, and 8 says, God would not and could not release hidden wisdom until He found a people who were mature enough to be ripe in understanding. Do you believe God hides things from us for us? That's Proverbs 25:2 said, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the honor of kings to search it out. Deuteronomy 29:29 is a great verse about secrets. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, it's the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and our descendants from now on. I want to know what God wants to give, don't you?
Yes.
And I want to get into His secrets. I'm glad He's got secrets. That Proverbs 25:25 said He hides it from us for us. But that first John talks about you have an unction from the Holy One and you comprehend all things. Wow. So you have the possibility of understanding everything God wants you to see and hear if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I told you I preach all over the world. I found a strange thing. A lot of pastors are afraid of the Holy Spirit. A lot of pastors are afraid of the Holy Spirit. So I got on a quest to find out why our pastors afraid of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. You ready? They can't control Him. Can't control Him. Wind blows here. You don't know where it came from. Not sure where it went. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. Can't control the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't understand that the Holy Ghost is powerful. Not one single miracle is recorded in your Bible that Jesus did in the New Testament until He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He could have, but He wouldn't. Every miracle He did in the New Testament, He did as a man anointed under the Spirit of God, not as the Son of God. Why would he do that? He's got to win back for us in the same arena that Adam lost it for us as a man. Aren't you glad the anointing is available for us? How many of us need the anointing? All of us. Here it is, John 15, verse 5. First time I ever read that verse, I got mad. It's Jesus talking, read part of the Bible. Here's what it says. Without me, you can't do nothing. When I first read that, I got mad. How dogmatic. That's about as dogmatic. Without me, you can't do anything. So I kind of settled out and I thought, well, my problem is I don't understand the Greek word for nothing. Back then, you had to do it through big old books. I got big old weast and vines and all of those Greek books, and I got them out looking for the word nothing. Guess what it means? It means a big fat zero with a vacuum sucked in it. It's less than nothing. Ezekiel, say Ezekiel. Ezekiel 44:23. It says this. One of the jobs, one of the responsibilities of a Zadok priest is to teach the people of God the vast difference between the profane and the holy, the worthwhile and the worthless. So I thought, if that's my job, I'm to teach the people of God the vast difference between the profane and the holy, the worthwhile and the worthless, I need to know what the word profane means. So I got to digging in the Hebrew words for profane. Solomon said almost the same thing. He called it vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Remember what Solomon said? And I'll show you the word vanity. Take your hand. Here's a Hebrew word for vanity. Do this. Now open your hand. What you got? Nothing. That's the word for vanity. It's a Hebrew word meaning attempting to catch the wind. And that's the same word as Ezekiel 44:23. Teach my people the vast difference between the profane. The profane word means empty, worthless, no eternal value. So I got it down. My job is to teach the people of God what is precious and what is worthwhile and what's profane, empty, worthless, no eternal value. Jesus appears about from here to there. He said, Bobby, do you know my definition of profane? Instantly, I knew I didn't. So I said to him, apparently not. I knew what the Hebrew book said, but I didn't know what the Rhema said. He said, do you want to know my definition of profane? I said, yes, Lord, I do. Do you want me to tell you what he told me? Are you sure?
Yes.
Could mess up your day. Here's what he said, my definition, the definition from Jesus Christ concerning his definition of profane is this. Anything man is doing that God did not initiate. He said it's empty, worthless, has no eternal value. No wonder Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things find their proper place. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my whole life doing something that amounts to nothing. Wow. In Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2, it says, why spend your money for something that doesn't satisfy? Wow. I am so thankful to live in this period of time. God's been doing something marvelous for us. He's been initiating hunger. Yes. Psalms 42, hunger. Psalms 42, verse 1 says, as a little desert deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. So he's been doing something for us that's marvelous. God has. Here's what he's been doing for 2 decades now, 20 years. He's been fanning the flame of discontentment within your heart so you won't settle for less than what God wants to give you. What you feel inside of you tonight is a divine dissatisfaction. You're dissatisfied with church as usual. I'll tell you, God's really dissatisfied with it. He wants us to come seek Him on a level we've not been seeking Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Call unto Him while He's near. Wow. You say, you think He's trying to get our attention? Oh, definitely. You can't watch what's coming in our world and not understand we're under the judgment of God. But here's a great thing. In judgment, He will remember mercy. In judgment, He'll remember mercy. You might say, well, wait a minute, Bobby, hold on just a second. Well, what do you mean our nation could be under judgment? What judgment do you think we're under? I think we're under Isaiah 5:20. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe, W-O-E, Woe! Woe means the pronounced judgment of God. Woe unto the nation that finds it easy to call good evil and evil good. That substitutes darkness for light, bitter for sweet. I suggest we're there, don't you think? While we're on this soapbox, I suspect the modern day media should be tried for treason. That's what I think. I looked up the word and yet, listen. I preach this. I preach it on television. I preach it on worldwide. The modern day media are the biggest terrorists our nation has ever seen. The modern day media are doing more damage to the fabric of our nation than all the terrorists have done and all the attacks they've done. Now, I looked up the word. I said the modern day media should be tried for treason. I looked up the definition of treason. You can Google it. The attempted overthrow of a sitting government. If the modern day media is not guilty of that, I don't know what they are. You and I better thank God we have Donald Trump in the White House. Now, I don't give a hoot about Republican, Democrat. I could care less about that. But here's what I'm going to tell you. God will never change this thing from the White House. He'll do it from the church house. That's true. That's really true. You say, well, Bobby, you think we're really under judgment? Yeah. But I think this, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. And I'll what? Heal their land. Wow. Have you ever read, you've read the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, it is a time of favor. It's a time of an assured welcome of God. 2 Corinthians 6:2 is Paul quoting Isaiah 49 verse 8. If you study Isaiah 49 verse 8, Paul quoting, that's what he's quoting in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Study Isaiah 49 verse 8. It says, in that time, God will give us the power to set the world back from its present state of ruin. Wow! I want to step into that mantle, don't you? To set the world back from its present state of ruin. No wonder Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its power to function, it's what? Oh, it's horrible. Good for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. But I'll tell you what God's doing. He's raising up a remnant. He's raising up a remnant that says, wait a minute. This is not who we are. We're children of the King. We're going to shake ourselves and realize, we are heirs to the throne. Yes. There's some verses in there I dare us to start believing. We're translocational tonight. We're here in Spindell, but we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. If we'll start legislating from there instead of here, things will change. If we start seeing who we really are and what is available to us and who God says that we are, we'll start moving in Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18 says, whatever heaven says is illegal, you and I can stand here and say, no way. But whatever heaven says is permissible, we can say, bring it on. Matthew 18:18. We're going to find out we are senior representatives sent out with authority. 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20, verse 1 says, the first letter says, now. See, a lot of people are delegating their authority somewhere down the road. We need a move of God now. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is substance of things hoped for. Now faith is substance of things hoped for. We need a move of God now, don't we? Yes. That's quite true. We're going to get it if we'll search for it with all of our heart. You believe that? Amen. Say yes. You say, now, Bobby, I don't want any confrontation. I just want to live a few good years and go on to glory. Now, didn't you read the Bible? The most repetitive name in the Bible for God is this, Lord of Armies, Lord of Hosts. It looks like there might be a confrontation coming. If the most repetitive name for God in the Bible is Lord of Armies. But what we understand is we're fighting from victory, not for victory. When our elder brother hung himself up on the tree and cried out, it's finished! Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm finished? He used a farming term that simply says, everything should have been done is totally done, nothing left undone that needed to be done. Absolutely complete. The salvation that Christ purchased for us on the cross. Everything's done. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Yep. Now, here's the deal. God thought enough of you to let you be born in the most crucial time in human history. This is the most crucial time in human history. This thing's up for grabs, ain't it? It really is. And look who he's let live. I said to him, "What are you thinking?" And here's what he said to me. "Yes, I finally found me a people weak enough to work in." Now, not weak in morals, not weak in ethics, not weak in character, weak in her own ability. He said, "I found me a generation that understands without me they can't do anything. But with him, through him, in him, we're invincible." Romans 8:37 says, "Yet amid all these things, we're super victorious." Unstoppable. Anything Jesus can do, we can do better. What? Yes. That's what he says. "These works that I do and greater than these shall you do." That's what Jesus said. And he's not a politician seeking to be elected. He don't spew out rhetoric. He meant to tell you that through him, no weapon formed against you can work. You're unstoppable in him. That's really true. You look at the early church. Those guys, remember, they got beat up, locked up, but they wouldn't shut up. Remember, they said, "Don't you ever preach or teach again in that name." They get out of prison after being locked up and beat up. They run back to the church and said, "God, give us more so we can say better." Wow. I like that, don't you? Now, here's the deal. It won't be long till we'll have to, I suspect, do civil disobedience to obey God. Yeah. Yeah. Example, sometimes they tell you in your school, you can't pray to Jesus Christ publicly. Well, the Bible says morning, noon, and night we can cry out. The Bible said train up our children the way they're to go. And listen, let's just get dead honest. We got to have a revolution, but you can't have a revolution with contented people. I punched Rick Joyner a few months ago and I said, the church is way too contented to have the reformation they need. Reformation comes when people get discontented to the point of having a revolution. And so we've got to have a revolution. And you believe there's a revolution coming? There really is. And I'm so thankful. I don't like when people get so concerned about being people pleasers. "Well, you know, Bobby, I don't think we ought to be very..." You know, we need to be politically correct. Not according to that book. Bible said, if I attempt to please men, I will not please God that called me. You say, "Bobby, I don't understand quite what you're getting at tonight." I'm saying to you, we're in a big mess and everybody thinks it's okay. We're living in a time when people ordain professing homosexuals to lead churches. There's no such thing in the Bible as a saved practicing homosexual. And see, but now you say just what I said now. They're trying to make that a hate crime. No, it's the truth of Romans 1. "Though they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and God gave them up to a reprobate mind." Amen. Wow. But see, if we don't tell the truth about the truth, we're in error. If I tell you to warn the wicked man of his wicked way and you don't do it, he dies in his sin, his blood I require at your hands. Wow, that's why we need to be pleasing God more than pleasing people. But you say, "Well, Bobby, you know, there's so much more that we could do." No. He said we got to purge ourselves from every bit of the contamination. Here's a great verse. It's 2 Corinthians 7:1. I get to preach in some of the largest youth conferences around, and this is a verse I use to those young guys. 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us purify ourselves from every bit of the contamination of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the reverential fear of the Lord." One translation says, "bringing our consecration to completeness." Guess what God's going to do? He's going to bring back the holy fear of the Lord into the house of God. Wow. Why do we need that? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now you say, "Bobby, I thought we could jump up and give him a high five and hi, dude." All of that's okay. We can call him Abba Father and all that, but there's a side of God that demands reverence. And it's missing in many places. We come before him with trembling. I think our problem could be we're way too familiar with the God we barely do know. But I believe he's going to reintroduce himself. Yes. What do you mean? John on the Isle of Patmos. Biggest buddy Jesus had. Laid his head on the heart of Jesus. But now he sees him in another dimension. He don't go, hey, man, been wanting to hang out with you, dude. He fell at his feet as though he were dead. Wow. It's time for Jesus to reintroduce himself to his people. Wow. He's powerful, isn't he? He really is who he says he is. King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee will bow and every tongue, Islamic tongues, Hindu tongues, every tongue will confess he is Lord. There's a period you can do that and it's beneficial. There's a period that you will do it and it won't avail you anything. We have to call out to him while he's wooing us. Wow. I'll tell you one of the things I saw coming through a building. I saw a mantle come through the building. It looked like a sheet, a shiny sheet going through the building like that. And I said, what is that? He said, oh, that's the spirit of evangelism I'm putting back on the church. God is putting a spirit of evangelism back on the church. We've almost lost the ability to share Jesus. People go, oh, well, you know, they don't want to hear it. Listen, that's not the question. We've got to go tell them. We're obligated, Paul said. We're debtors to preach the gospel to the whole world. Now, the gospel is what? It's a word that means a good news that makes you jump up and down when you hear it. That's the word gospel. Good news that makes you jump up and down when you hear it. Now, people need to hear the good news. I tell you what they don't want to hear about a new program you got down at church. They kind of fed up with that. They want to know, can this Jesus step out of heaven and get my children off of dope? Can he break off the affair my husband's having with this tramp down the road? That's the Jesus we're serving. When he moves in, things change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Wow. Wow. I'll tell you what, and he is reaping souls. Pastor, I was just with a ministry. My wife and I were a few weeks ago. They led 1 million people to Jesus Christ, 2016. 1 million worldwide. Wow. They are activating, training disciples and workers like you can't imagine. Wow. So it can be done in any scale, in any spectrum. You know who we ought to start winning first of all is our own household. Acts 16:31 said, you shall be saved and your whole house. That's not talking about the chimney and the shingles. That's talking about your whole lineage line. Here's your great word about your lineage line. You want it? Psalms 112 verse 2. Psalms 112 verse 2 said, the offspring of the upright will be mighty in the earth. That means those children you give birth to, they're to be mighty in the earth. I looked at the word mighty. It's a word that means they should take charge. Here's another great verse about your lineage line. Isaiah 44:3-4. Isaiah 44:3-4 says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants, and they will spring up like willows by a riverbank. If we're hungry and thirsty and desperate, our children will flourish. Wow. Don't you want that? Listen, every one of us in this room, I suspect, has somebody we know in our family needs a closer walk with God. What we need to do is start bombarding heaven. Saying, oh God, I ask you to move in their life. I ask you to set up obstacles that cause them to run face to face into you, God. Start praying for their salvation. My grandmother, she was old the day I saw her and she's old the day she died. Granny, Granny. My grandmother looked, you know the granny on Beverly Hillbillies? She looked older than her. My grandmother, she wore a little bun like this. She wasn't big as a grasshopper. She used a toothbrush. The toothbrush back then was, they put snuff on the end of it. A toothbrush was a blackjack limb. You go out and get the stem off a blackjack tree and you beat it to a little pulp on the end and you get it wet with your saliva and stick it down the snuff jar and you put it in your mouth. Back then, that's how they dipped snuff, especially if they were ladylike. So my grandmother had a Sunday brush, which you couldn't see, and then her everyday brush that you could see, hanging her lip. Granny was old the day I saw her, old the day she died. But here's what happened to her. She got really, really old, blind in the nursing home. The hardest man I ever tried to lead to Jesus Christ was her son. His first name was Clyde. Wow. I got saved, witnessed to him. He threw me up against the wall, had me in a chokehold, said, "Don't you ever talk to me about God again. If that's what you want, okay, but don't you ever talk to me about God again." Hardest guy you could imagine. Furthest away from God you could imagine. Every time I'd go to the nursing home, pray with my grandmother, before we'd leave, here's what she'd say. "Oh, Lord, let me live to see Clyde saved." That was her son. He was 72 years old. I'm off at my office, another town, several cities away where my uncle lived. Pastor called me. He said, "Can you come over here?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "Clyde's under conviction." 70-something years old, gets born again, professes Jesus Christ in a church, goes through biblical, scriptural baptism, gets on a bus to go out to see his daughter. His daughter was blind because her mother, before she committed suicide, cocked a 38 caliber pistol and shot the little girl when she was 2 through the head, and she was totally blind. And the other 2 kids, a death spirit jumped on them, and both of them died before they were 14. See, and that's my uncle that hated God. And so anyway, he goes out to see his blind daughter, and he's been converted now. And boy, it's the wildest thing. He's out there, I think, maybe 7 or 8 days. Gets a headache, falls over with a brain aneurysm. He's in heaven while I'm talking to you. All because his mother wouldn't give up on him. When he got saved, I walked into my grandmother's room. Like I said, she's a little bitty squivel up thing, laying there blind as she could be. And the moment I walked in the room, she said, "Clyde got saved, didn't he?" Yeah. I didn't go, "Granny!" No, she told me, "Isn't that something?" But he's in heaven because she wouldn't give up on him. You know, listen, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? So that ought to encourage you. Don't give up on anybody. No matter how hostile and hard they are, hold them to God. God can change them just like that, can't he? I'm stunned on how God uses events to get other people saved. I pastored for 26 and a half years. First church I ever pastored, we was off down there, and there was a man in the community, and he was a good moral man, but he didn't know Jesus. And every time I'd talk to him, he'd come up with this kind of stuff: "I don't do the things your deacons do." You know what I mean? And he was right. But anyway, I tried to witness to Buddy, and his buddy's wife was a sweet, 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 sweet lady, very faithful to the church. But Buddy was hostile towards the Lord because he'd seen people that claimed to be Christians do wrong, and was wrong in business, wrong in all this kind. No excuse for all that. But anyway, I tried to witness to him, and he's just cold as a carp. So Buddy's dad was in the nursing home, the old man. He's old as he could be. So I used to go to the nursing homes and visit the shut-ins. Now, come with me to this nursing home experience. I go there, and there's the old man. He's in bed, and he's trying to eat something. I don't know what it is. It's some kind of mashed-up green, what's them little peas? English peas, and some stewed carrots or something. I don't know what it is. Nursing home food. And all of a sudden, he gets strangled on nursing home food. And he starts choking and vomiting. And so I get up to help him, and here I am. He's puked out his teeth in my hands. So there I am with teeth and everything else there, and I'm trying to clear out his throat so he won't choke to death. And Buddy, his boy, walks in. And there I am with his dad's puke up to my elbows and his teeth in my hands, and it broke his heart just like that. All the other witnessing I ever did never moved him till he saw compassion for his father. And that's what God used to win Buddy to Jesus Christ. Isn't that strange? Now, you know, I don't believe that ought to be a mode of evangelism, but love never fails. Isn't that crazy? Wow. Do you believe God wants people saved? We need to tell people about Jesus. I travel all the time. We get into circumstances you can't imagine. They put me in a hotel in downtown L.A., and they were having the Extreme Olympics. I mean, that's these guys that jump off of bicycles, spin around, jump back on the bicycles and wave at you. The Extreme World Extreme Olympics, and they were having them in this area down there in L.A., and all of them were staying in the hotel. So here, go with me in the elevator. I'm in the hotel in the elevator with my little briefcase there, and I'm standing up against the wall, and the door's about to close, and I'm thinking, okay. About that time, just before the door closed, the Monster Girls, they sell the Monster drinks, you know, it's got the claw on it. Oh, Lord, they jumped in the elevator. There's 12 or 14 of them. They're young women. They ain't got enough clothes on to wad a shotgun. Nearest naked you've ever seen in your life, you know. They jump in the elevator, like, right, just, there I am, and they all pile in. And they're all giddy and all this kind of, So here's what happened. One of them said, hey, talking to me, hey, babe, you here to party? I said, oh, no, I'm here to tell people about Jesus. Had my little briefcase there. When I said that, one of the girls in about the third row into the set of the Monster Girls, she starts screaming, this is not who I am. I'm not supposed to be living like this. I'm a Christian. And then she said, I believe there's a whole bunch more just like me. I said, get them together down at the fountain. I'll come preach to them. We're in downtown L.A. there at a hotel. They brought the Extreme Olympics people down here for me to preach to them. Boy, I got hallelujahs and F-bombs in the same message. You never. But see, we got to get the gospel where it needs to be. Is this true? Well, anyway. Yeah. But anyway, somehow we've lost the ability to let our light shine. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't you want to be radiant? It happens when we get around Him. The Lord appeared to me the other day and He said, Bobby, the whole complexion of the body of Christ is about to change. Oh, I was so thrilled. So I said, what do you mean? And he screamed it, sunburn. S-O-N. Sunburn. You believe you get in the S-U-N, your complexion changes? He told me, said, the whole complexion of the church is about to change. Sunburn. Now, we got to get into His presence so His presence can get into us. This conference is about His presence. Tomorrow night when we talk, we're going to talk about what His presence produces in our life. Psalm 16:11 says, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Say that, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where you're seated right now, at His right hand. Seated in heavenly places. To those that overcome, they sit with me as I've overcome and am set down with my Father upon His throne. Wow. If you look for the most powerful place in the whole cosmos, it's the right hand of God. The right hand of God. Wow. Seated at His right hand. That's where we are. You say, no, I'm in Spindle. Well, you're here temporarily. You're there eternally. Aren't you glad? We're just visiting here. We're strangers and pilgrims here. Our home is there. We need to start living more from a real homestead than this one. Whatever you see down here is temporary. What you see there that you can't see normally from here is eternal. Paul says what we look at that can't be seen. I figured out you can see a lot further according to the Bible than you think. Here's what it says in the Bible. And Moses saw the sufferings of Christ. Wow. Moses saw the sufferings of Christ. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I love what Moses said in Exodus 33. He said, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with us, don't carry us anywhere. Only Your presence will make us unique from all the people on the earth. That's true. It says in the book of Acts, they looked at those apostles and said, these are ignorant and untrained people. But they took notice of them. They had been with Jesus. His presence changes everything. They took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. I want that kind of complexion change, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. I like the guitar player, the guy, I think it's bass you're playing. I don't know instruments, but I do know God. And I know this, that he's going to put this evangelistic anointing on you in such a favor, you can't keep quiet about Jesus. From this night on, they'll chase you down. Your friends that didn't want to hear, they'll chase you down and go, listen, can you tell me? And what's going to stun you is you're going to get the word of wisdom in your mouth that'll lead them to Christ. you've been thinking, I don't know if I know enough to say, you're going to get the Word of God. You get Isaiah 50, verse 4. I will give you the tongue of a taught one. You'll know how to reply and respond to the people ask you, how do we make it through this? So that's good. What's your first name?
Chad.
Chad. Well, God bless you. I like that. You say, well, can I have that? Yeah, you can. We're to be bold and brave, very courageous. We shouldn't be so timid. Well, now, Bobby. No, Joshua 1:9 says, be bold, be brave, be very courageous. Go do what you're told to do because you're not going by yourself. Amen. That's true. Jesus said he'll abide with us. He'll set up permanent resident, won't he? Well, that's good. Anybody in here sick enough to get prayer? Anybody in here sick enough to get prayer? God wants to heal the sick. That's part of the benefits of being a believer. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will get well. That's what it said in the Bible. It said in the Bible, he healed them all. Wow. So what we want to do, we want to pray for sick people. And we want to see, is there anybody in this building that's never been born again? You said, I'm in a Christian service. Judas was too. He didn't make the cut, did he? Says he had part and lot in the ministry. That means he could do the same thing Jesus could do as far as ministry. Thank you. Muchas gracias. I'm bilingual. Actually, no. I went to London, England, had to have an interpreter. That's the honest to God truth. I speak Texican. They have to translate me into English to get me translated. It's just... You know how Texican speaks, don't you? Yep. No. We do a lot of grunting. Something's really good. We go, Yeah. Something's going wrong. It's really bad. No! If it's okay, yep. Yeah. We got our own little language down there. Texas, honest to God, you can tell what part of the state you live in by the way people talk. I live in East Texas, my wife and I. We did television all the time, and people thought it was an act that we talk like this. No, it's normal. What's going to stun you is God talks just like me. I tell you, he talks just like you listen. John 10:3 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But here's what I'm going to ask God to do. I'm going to ask him if there's anything in my life that keeps me from fellowship with him, that he'll convict me of it. I want that, don't you? That's what David prayed in Psalms 51. Search me, O God. Look inside of me. If there's any wicked way in there, take it away. And I love Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. Then I'll teach sinners how to get saved and how to come to live with you. Anybody in here want to pray that prayer with me? Father, if there's anything in my life, show it to me. We don't want any kind of sin harboring in our life that would keep us from fellowship with you. Lord Jesus, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch every one of us. You would not leave us alone, but we would be dealt with about our sin. You said if we're without chastisement, we're illegitimate. We don't want to live in sin. We don't want sin living in us either. So Holy Ghost of God, convict us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. We want to be able to be upright and clean before our Lord. And we ask you, Holy God, don't let us get comfortable living in dark. We want to behold you and become like you, Jesus. We want nothing to keep us from your presence. We want your presence to have full rule over our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Well, he heard the prayer, and he's going to move on our behalf. Now, I asked if there was people sick enough to get prayer. This lady raised her hand. Come up here, please. We're going to pray for the sick. One of the ways the sick get well is you get an anointed piece of cloth. That sounds so crazy, but it sure does work. If God did it in Paul's day, he does it in Bobby's day. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, this day, and forever. Come on down here. Or I can meet you halfway if that'll help you. Come on here. What's your name?
Barbara.
Barbara, I'm Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
What you said you're sick enough to get prayer. What's wrong with you?
Well, my blood
blood pressure's fluctuating, and I ended up in the emergency Monday morning. And I'm going to have to take some medication.
All right.
I'm 89 years old, going on 90.
Going on 90. That ain't bad. I found a verse in the Bible said we can live as long as we want to, Barbara.
Well, I'm claiming 120.
Yeah. She's claiming 120. That's not bad. Here it is. Psalms 92, 10 through 6, 15 says, you'll be full of sap in your old age. That's what the Bible says, full of sap, bearing fruit in your old age. That's what it says. Read it. Well, anyway. So, Father, I thank you for Barbara. She's standing here because she believes in prayer. I pray, Lord Jesus, that when the doctors check her, they'll find her blood pressure normal. I pray that the rhythm of her heart would be perfect. And, Lord, we thank you that she loves you. And, Lord, thank you that you love her. And I pray that you would just use her in a mighty way. I pray that your word would flow from her life and her heart. But bless her now, strengthen her. And, Lord, I pray that you would make all the numbers work out perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You say, well, are you sure? Yeah, Jesus will do what he says.
Yes.
Yeah, he really will. You believe he raises the dead, don't you?
Yes.
He raised my mama twice. That's not bad for a Southern Baptist. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that's happening is we think we've got to see it to believe it. John 11:40, Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you'd believe, you would see? Skepticism says, don't believe it till you see it. Jesus says, believe it in order to see it. John 11:40. Wow. You remember the guy that brought his little boy to Jesus? The devil would throw the little boy in the fire and in the water, try to destroy him. And I love what happens. Jesus said, do you believe? He said, I believe it. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. I love that Jesus meets us wherever we are. You don't have to have big faith, just genuine faith. If you have faith as a grain of what? You can say to a big old mountain, hook them, get out. Are you needing prayer or you got
a friend right here in Egypt?
Got a friend right here that needs it. I like that. That's a real friend that'll call a friend out and say, don't sit there. This is your time. Remember it says about blind Bartimaeus? He heard that it was Jesus. And remember that? What's your name?
Vance.
Vance, what's wrong with you?
Arrhythmia.
Arrhythmia in your heart? I'll put my hand on your heart, okay? Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our creator. You created us. You made us. You formed us in our mother's womb. You know everything about the body, every integral part. You know all about it. You're Lord of it. And I'm asking you right now that you would regulate his heart, that it would beat normally and correctly and function exactly like you designed it now. Lord, and I pray that you'll put it all together in such a way you get the glory. Yes. And we give you praise for this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. God bless you. There's a good heat going in there. I can feel that. That's a good thing. God bless you. I stood a man up once. Go ahead. Do you? Well, just stand up. It's okay. Now, I don't know why people get sick enough to go to the doctor, but they don't get sick enough to come to prayer. Now, a doctor will embarrass you a lot more than I will. They'll throw you a little robe that don't even have a back to it, and they'll say, put this on, then roll you down the hall, and people, you know. Well, so your blood pressure's erratic?
Yes, I'm on blood pressure.
On blood pressure medicine. Lord Jesus, you've heard these people talking about there's something not functioning correctly about their heart. I pray right now, I pray that you would rectify that you cause all the numbers to be normal, and you do it in such a way you get glory out of it. The doctors go, we're not sure what happened, but everything's okay. So, Lord, we trust you that everything's okay in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you a little thing once. They brought a man to the church years ago. His family was there. I didn't know any of them. They had doctor's reports, and the guy was very weak and feeble. And the doctor's report was he has cancer of the brain. So they're all gathered down there, and we're going to have prayer. So I picked my hand up to pray like this, and the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to pray for this man that has cancer. And the Lord said to me, who told you he has cancer? I said, his family and the doctor report. Here's what I'll stun you. He said he doesn't have cancer, but if you pray for him, he'll get it. That's what Jesus said. So I said, okay, what does he have? He says he has an imbalance of a mineral substance in his body, and he's got an infection at the stem of his brain because of that, and that's what's wrong. Tell him, you don't have brain cancer. You have an infection there because you need to go home and start eating massive amounts of a certain type of cereal that had that mineral in it. So I said it. His family got fat and mad. His family, because I wouldn't agree with the diagnosis, but the man that I was praying for did. He went home, started eating massive amounts of a certain type of cereal, and it reversed the chemical imbalance, and he was totally okay. See, we better get word from God. Yeah. Wow. Is this true?
You.
Yeah, that's where it happened. Isn't that strange? Good gracious. Here's somebody. Come on. What's your name?
Christian Robinson.
What do you want? What do you know? What do you want?
I have seizures.
Do you have seizures? How long you had seizures?
Since I was 7 and I just turned 25.
25. See that kid we were talking about a while ago that would be thrown in the fire, and the scripture says moonstruck, and that was the word that were used, and that's where seizures come from. And the same God that touched that guy will touch you. Yes. You believe that?
Yep.
I do too. All right. Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you for the finished work of Calvary. I come against seizures and any kind of problem here in the name of Jesus. The same Jesus that told that little boy's father, only believe. Lord, we believe that you will take this young man and everything about his life will be totally normal. Totally normal. I thank you for him being in the house of God, around the people of God. And I bless him. And we say, Lord, you're the one who gave him life. Now give him perfect, perfect healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. And you're 20 what?
25.
I'll be 70, what, 4 this year. Isn't that something? God bless you. God bless you. I believe the seizures will be over.
Well, thanks a lot.
God bless you. God bless you. Now.
I have a tremor.
Okay.
Nervous.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want it gone.
Okay, Father, she said she wants this thing gone.
Yes.
And Lord, you want us to be absolutely ever withhold.
Yes.
You want us totally well. You said in the Word, you heal them all. So Lord, here's this sister. I pray right now that you would just move over her and that all the tremors would be gone, that her central nervous system would just be as calm and normal as everything. And we say no to the tremors and yes to the peace of God. In Jesus' name. Catch this. You ready?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good for us, and it's legal. It's legal. All right.
So you pray for her grandson. She raises a son. He's back home in New Jersey. He has a brain tumor, 24 okay. years old. Name is Tyreek.
Tyreek. Okay, come here. I was on a television program not long ago, and we were doing a live program, and I saw a person with a brain tumor like that, but this one, they put him on a machine and all this kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, God can heal him. You believe that?
Yes.
Father, I want to thank you that there's no distance between Spindale and where this person is. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to go and touch this young person. I curse the tumor in the name of Jesus. I command it to swivel, dissipate, disappear. Lord, that's what happens. You said that these things cannot permeate the body. You said you made the body and you want the body to function correctly. So, Lord, we come against the brain tumor in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for healing now. I pray you'll do it in such a way, Jesus, you get great glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good. Good. Now, that's one thing we've got to learn. He's not restricted just to this building. You can pray for somebody all the way on the other side of the earth, and Jesus can touch him. He's really real. He really heals the sick. He really casts out devils. Well, he really does. I was in Mannheim, Germany, and you've seen like a firecracker thing on 4th of July where it goes whoosh like that. That happened in the middle of the building, and out of that walked an angel, walked right up to me, had a sword in his hand, jerked in my face and pulled the sword out like that. And on the sword handle, it had Isaiah 61, verse 1. That verse says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to set captives free. And I said, Lord, who is that? He said, that's the spirit of deliverance I'm bringing to the house of God. Yes. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Wow. Anything else? Well, here's what we want to do. We want to pray that you would have a sobering encounter with God in your heart where you'll realize nothing matters more than me being in His presence and His presence being in me. Nothing matters more than that. Nothing is more important than fellowshipping with Him. It really, look at Jesus, had no sin to repent of, and He said He'd get up away before dawn and go out and pray all night. Wow. Wow. Look at us. The least attended service in any church is prayer meeting. Wow. We've got to get back loving Jesus, haven't we? Say this with me, recalibration. The word recalibrate means go back to the original point of accuracy. The church definitely needs to do that, don't we? Get back to the basics. And a lot of people are doing that. Worldwide, there's a hunger going on like you can't imagine just to really know Jesus. To know if He is who He says He is. And He is, isn't He? Now, let me tell you, tomorrow, I think we're going to have a round table meeting. I don't know what we're having. 10 o'clock. I found a verse the other day that has shook me as much as any verse I've ever found in the whole Bible. And here's what happened. Here's how it happened. I was waiting on God, just thanking Him for all the things we've seen, all the things we've watched Him unfurl in our lifetime. And He said to me in such a firm tone, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And He gave me a verse that said, "Everything we've seen up until now is but the mere fringes of His power. Everything we've heard up until now is but the faintest whisper of His voice." Good Lord. Good. Everything from creation till now is but the mere outskirts, the mere fringes of His power. Everything we've heard up until now is but the faintest whisper of His voice. Next verse says, "Who can comprehend the thunder of His power?" He meant it when He said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." Wow. I appreciate all we've seen in the past, but that's the mere fringes. I appreciate all we've heard in the past. Faintest whisper. Wow. We're going to talk to you about how to build an expectation for that. He came to me and said, "I'm going to give you an assignment." I said, "Okay. I'll take it." He said, "Okay. Here's the assignment, but I want to tell you, it'll take you eons and eons and eons of eternity, and you still won't be through." Romans 11, 33. You read it. Romans 11. Who can know the depth? Who can find out the breadth of the unscrutable, inscrutable God? The God that can't be figured out. Wow. Said it'll take you eons of eternity and still won't happen. What does that mean? It means every millisecond of eternity, every millisecond of endless age without end will be Him unfurling more of who He is. We won't get up there and go, just like I thought it would be. Every millimoment for all eternities will be Him unfurling more of who He is. No wonder those angels go, "Holy, holy." We're not going to get there and go, Every moment, He'll be showing more of His majesty. Wow. That's what heaven is. Yep. Yeah. Every time I come, we have a dance. I'll give you a book for this dance, you know. I know it's worth more than I know it's worth more than that. She said, are we going to talk or are we going to dance? Let's dance. Yeah, it's okay, ain't it? Yeah, pastor said it's okay.
Yeah, my husband said it was okay.
Yeah, he told me, said, I'm not going any behind the ear this time. Yeah, we are. There we are. We're dancing. Oh, yeah. See there? See, that ain't bad. See, the first time she goes, pastor, pastor, pastor. I said, it's too late for that. And every year we've been back, I've danced with her. Isn't that something? God bless you. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Here's your book.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll sign it for you. Yeah, you remember she was going, pastor, you're supposed to keep the, listen. Yeah. But isn't that something? Wow, but that's good. Well, there's still stuff brewing here. Do you believe there's going to be a real revelatory night tonight? God wants to release dreams, visions. I just see like a funnel like this moving, and it's revelatory scrolls going like this and like this. What you need to do is go, God, I want this. I want the scrolls of heaven. I want the Word of God active and living in my heart. I want revelation. Here's what I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go back to the book table. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be flooded with revelatory light. You would have a grasp and a comprehension of the ways of God. So, Lord, give us all those revelatory eyes. I release for them Matthew 13, 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Lord, we thank you for perception and reception of divine truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Give God the glory. Good. Amen. How many of you, this is your first time you've seen Bobby in person? Right here. My goodness, my house is almost full of them. Well, what did you think? You think you're coming back? Absolutely. Absolutely. Before you go, if the ushers are ready, do you have the cards? Do we have cards? Yeah. You guys can head on back to the table. What we want to do is in the morning at 10 o'clock, we will have coffee. We'll have some Danishes, donuts or something. I don't know what we're going to have, but we'll have something over there. Some fruit, too, probably. But we're going to start at 10 o'clock. But if you have a question that you would like to write down for Bobby, because we're going to have sort of like a roundtable discussion time, and he's open to share whatever he wants to share. But he likes answering questions as well. If there's something going on that we really need to answer or have a question about, then write it on that card and turn it in tonight. Just drop it off up here at the pulpit area, and then we'll sort of categorize them and see if we can get some of those questions answered while he's here in the morning. Yes, what did I do? No nursery in the morning. No nursery. We're going to let our nursery workers come out and be a part of it. So we will have nursery tomorrow night, but no nursery in the morning at 10 o'clock. So what time in the morning?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Write down your question. And just bring it up here and just lay it on the pulpit, and we'll put them together. Well, time tomorrow night is 7 p.m. 7 p.m., and we'll do it again, meet together. And thank you guys for coming. Thank you for being a part of this conference. And we just always enjoy Bobby being here. And Carolyn, it's just a real treat for Carolyn to be here. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the treasure of your word. Thank you for the deposit that you're putting into this house, into this people. Thank you for the healing that you've already done for these that have stood asking for your healing. Thank you, God, that you're meeting every expectation of hunger that we're bringing. And we ask you now, Lord, to give us the dreams and the visions. Speak to us in the night season. And Lord, we pray for encouragement upon the people, peace upon the people. And Lord, may we return again in the morning being refreshed by being with you. And we ask you, Lord, to give Bobby and Carolyn a wonderful night's sleep, a wonderful night's rest. And Lord, we come back in the morning eager to hear your word and hear you speak again. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 10 o'clock in the morning. If you have a question, if you have the card and the question, just bring it up to the pulpit and lay it down. God bless.